I'm bringing a standalone message this morning, which has been on my heart for many months, to some degree, because of our annual theme. If you look at your bulletin, you'll see that every week since last fall, the theme is for 2016-2017, reenlisting, rekindling, renewing. And today's focus has to do with continuing steadfastly in fellowship in the body of Christ, and specifically here at Redbridge. And I'm about to build you up right now, only to bring us all back down to earth. And the build-up part is we do many things well here at Redbridge. And I say that genuinely, and I don't say that because of a point of personal pride. In fact, these items that I've listed that I want to bring by way of remembrance, most of the items I have little or nothing to do with personally. And that is, Redbridge, we're a people of the book. We love and know theology, and that's not because of me. You would not be here if that was not the reigning voice and word for this church. That is the highest view of the Word of God. We simply don't tolerate heresy, and we don't like that which is not rightly divided. We are a people of the book, and can I get a witness? We are. We're very effective at missions. In fact, Redbridge missionaries will tell you of what this local church means to them. Many of our missionaries say that we are their number one supporting church, and we're the most involved in a personal way in their ministries. Frankly, we want to and we like to spoil our missionaries, and so we do missions well. We're talented musically far beyond what we ought to be for our size of a church. And what's more, it's ministered in a heart of reverence for the Lord and humility before God and man, and done with excellence. It truly is remarkable how God has given us such talent. We have an infinitely high view of the sanctity of human life. That cannot be said just anywhere. We care about kids. We love babies. And it is evident to all. We are very highly organized. We have an organizational structure which is very good. And that is doubly amazing as long as I've been the senior pastor, and how unorganized I can be. I am not the poster child for administration. And yet this church is organized through our committee structure, through various programs and aspects of the church. We are very good, as you know, at Awana. In fact, I would say we have the most effective Awana ministry in the entire Midwest. Ages 3 through 12th grade, heavily involved, and tremendous leadership. Our Sunday school teachers, knowledgeable, who know the Word of God and work hard at preparing and delivering lessons, communicating the truths of Scripture. Our deacons are absolutely selfless men of God who are in that position not because of popularity, but because of having demonstrated a heart to serve. We've been debt-free as a church for 35 years. We take care intentionally and regularly of our facilities, as you can tell, and as I mentioned earlier this morning. We're even seemingly improving in an area that I used to believe was quite weak, and that is personal evangelism. I don't mean missions. I mean each of us sharing the Lord. There seems to be a fresh heartbeat for that, a new skip in our step in that particular area that I have not seen in many years. However, and this is the bringing us down to earth, we are not growing and strengthening in a particular area. In fact, it seems to continue to diminish in real, genuine, biblical Christian fellowship. Not pie and coffee. Although I have a great time when we had that. Well, not the coffee. You know that. I'm not old enough for that. It's not that. That's not fellowship necessarily. But biblical fellowship, and I'm going to talk about that this morning. And so, if you would, receive this exhortation, give this message your attention on purpose. If the shoe fits, wear it. If it doesn't, don't put it on. Acts chapter 2, the book of Acts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts. The book of Acts, chapter 2, the context is Jesus ascended, the 120 waited in the upper room praying until the Spirit of God would baptize them into the body of Christ in the beginning of Acts chapter 2. And when they were given special gifts of languages to be able to communicate the gospel to the thousands and ten, no, not the thousands, the hundreds of thousands who were gathered in Jerusalem because of Pentecost, then Peter stood up and preached, and he preached through chapter 2. And if you'll give your attention to chapter 2, verses 22 through 24, and then verses 36 through 42. First, chapter 2 and verse 22. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, the man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you all, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, in other words, delivered on purpose, you've taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. Now, verse 36. Therefore, and he went on to continue preaching the gospel. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, intimating the Gentile world, by the way, all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this crooked, this perverse generation. Verse 41, then they gladly received his word, were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. By the way, how did they know there were 3,000 souls added? About 3,000? How did they know there was about 3,000 souls added to the church that day? They counted them. Which is the first intimation, a rudimentary church membership role. Formally members. You have joined us. We've got your name down. We know who you are. Folks, formal church membership is biblical, and we see it in its rudimentary form right here, verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. If anyone can and should bring this message and apply it to Redbridge, I can and I should. I've been part of this church for nearly 37 years. As a layman right out of the Navy in 1980, up to this point with a short stint elsewhere in pastoring. I've been on staff for over 30 years at this church. I've been the senior pastor for over 23 years. I know Redbridge Baptist Church. And what's more, God has given me the heart and the calling of a shepherd to oversee the flock for its protection and its provision. And in fact, that's what I'm doing today. And so I want you to receive this exhortation and receive it in the spirit of Hebrews 13:17, which says that the congregation, I'm summarizing, the congregation is to give credence to what the overseer says, because he watches for your souls so that he can minister with joy, because that will be a blessing to you, Hebrews 13:17. And so it's in that heart, in that flavor, that I bring this message on continuing steadfastly in fellowship. And we are in a difficult day in the American church in this area as we continue to diminish and diminish in biblical Christian fellowship. Chuck Swindoll warns us about this very text in verse 42, where he wrote, three of the four ingredients are still actively pursued at this time, meaning in the American church. And this has been written not too long ago. Teaching, that is the first part there. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Ordinances, breaking of bread, which also could be viewed as worship, and prayers. One, however, is noticeably weak, if not absent, and that is fellowship. Folks, this is our year of re-enlisting, rekindling, renewing, and in this particular text, the one area where we are, if not woefully deficient, certainly we are diminishing, is in the integrity of the oneness of biblical fellowship. Okay, that's the introduction. Fellowship described. First of all, what is it? What is biblical or Christian fellowship? And it's difficult to give a succinct definition, but you know it when you experience it. It's like the 12-year-old, Dad, how do you know when you're in love? Well, it's hard to really give a definition, but you sure know it when you've experienced it. And of course, it's centered in God. It's centered in the things of God. And really, it's partnering in the gospel. Do you recognize that the gospel of Jesus Christ is not just for you at the point of salvation? It is, what is the gospel? It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Is he still in you since you've been saved? Amen. So the gospel is for life. And so fellowship is partnering. It's communing. It's having community in and around the things of the Lord. That is what the aspect of fellowship is very much about. It's a shared communion. It's a oneness of spirit with other believers. I like what Paul Jackson wrote about this. He says, the fellowship in spiritual and heavenly things spans all the differences which may be common to natural life and brings into unity all believers in Christ, the rich and the poor, the cultured, the uncultured, the master and the servant, all find a new unity and equality that are fragrant and refreshing. That is when we truly have shared lives together, not when we show up for a worship service and someone barks at you for a while, or maybe you sing corporately and that's unto the Lord, but when actually the shoulders are side by side, the arms are locked, and we are walking through life together. That is biblical fellowship. That is what they had in Acts chapter 2. And in fact, they went on to turn the world upside down with the doctrine they were teaching, because they were communing together, praying, worshiping. All of those components were very much a part of that early church. Therefore, the primary basis for fellowship, that is how we experience it, it's being in Christ. And that's exactly what the Word of God says. It says that in 1 John chapter 1, verses 3 and verse 7, where it says, that which we have seen and heard and declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. The Apostle John is saying, if you've received the things that we've seen and we've heard, if you've received that, then we are fellowshipping with you, you with us, and truly our fellowship, that is all of us, it's with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, and that as he is in the light, that's parenthetical, we, referring back to those who walk in the light, that is believers, we have fellowship one with another. And so our fellowship is first and foremost grounded in what we believe, in our common faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Anybody here with me have the Lord Jesus in your heart by his Spirit? You're born again. You are a child of the King. Anybody identify with that? Then we have entered into the same fellowship positionally. That's who we are in him. What's more, fellowship is also based on having the same mind. That is, we set our focus on the same thing. And so we are born into a fellowship, but we're also those who live in that fellowship, or we are supposed to live in that fellowship. He calls us to do that. And in fact, when we're not, we are outside of the norm for God's church. W.A. Criswell, the late great pastor of First Baptist Church of Dallas, wrote, the major prerequisite of fellowship are likeness of nature, that is, you're saved, and community of purpose. That is, you lock arms and you walk together. Well, folks, in order for that to happen, we actually have to do that. You actually, it's not the kind of thing that you show up on Sunday morning, or you show up on Sunday evening, or you show up for your community committee meeting or something along that line, or you do your Awana verses. Anyone really can do that. Anyone can do that. It's when you actually have the same heart, the same purpose, the same goal, and you lock arms with other believers in the same family, and you move out and actually experience that. So biblical fellowship then is experienced when hearts are united in Christ and lives are then lived out in unity with one another. And it's expressed and it's experienced in all kinds of multiple ways. It might be experienced, it might be expressed in Bible study, studying a passage together. That is, growing together in theology. It might be in praying together. I tell you, the men meet on Tuesday morning, have for years at 7 a.m. And our time, yes, we pray, but we do a lot of fellowshipping, meaning we are discussing the things of God. We're talking about a particular Bible passage. We're talking about a particular burden. We're talking about the theology of the Word of God, how this applies. So in other words, we are actually talking and have our lives centered in the gospel. That is biblical fellowship. It's working through a ministry project together. It is giving and receiving encouragement. Now, let me give you a biblical example of this. Now, this plays out in the realm of money, but it's much, much, much more than money, of how the Macedonian believers fellowshipped around a particular mission need. And it's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 5. And listen to this text. It says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace." In other words, become aware of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Now, he's writing to the Corinthians. He says, I want you to know about what the grace of God did in the lives of your Macedonian brothers and sisters, how that in a great trial of affliction, that is, that things were difficult, the abundance of their joy, their deep poverty, abounded unto the riches of their liberality. In other words, even though they were hurting, they were struggling, they were dirt broke, they gave so liberally. Why? Because they were fellowshipping in the gospel. The word went out from the apostles. The saints at Jerusalem are starving. They need all of our help. And so these Macedonians said, well, we have $2. We can give them half of our money, or whatever it might be. They participated. They communed together. They were a community in a mission effort. And it goes on to say, for to their power I bear record, that is, to their ability, yea, and beyond their power, their ability, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive. In other words, they were begging the Apostle Paul, let us give this amount. We want to give this amount. Praying with us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped. In other words, we were saying, no, don't do this, but we didn't. But they said, yes, 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 we want to. But first they gave themselves to the Lord and then unto us by the will of God. In other words, they partnered together in the gospel. It wasn't just that somebody came around to their houses and collected an offering. It wasn't that they mailed in the offering. It wasn't that they had a bank draft that was mailed in for the offering. They actually rallied together. They communed over this need, and it was the body of Christ in Macedonia which did that. Folks, a fundamental truism throughout the ages regarding Christian fellowship is that it requires actually spending time and lives together. The sharing of lives, the experiencing of community, it's the integration of those. And I tell you, the American church has taken a huge hit in this area, and it's probably because of mass communication. I'm speculating. The opportunity that we have to communicate with one another through, of course, originally Pony Express letters, and then through telegraph, and then through telephone, and then through email, and now I don't even know all the ways we can communicate with one another, and yet never be side by side, never be hand in hand, arm in arm together, actually holding each other, supporting each other, loving each other, caring, rebuking each other, exhorting each other. We can do it all remotely. We can all do it all virtually. as if one of us could be over here and somebody else live over here, and really never actually interface with one another, and yet we're still part of the church. That is not how God had designed it to be. Fellowship described. It's the sharing of lives. Well, what's the answer? Well, the answer is obedience. The answer is to follow the prescription which he gives. And so fellowship is prescribed. Now to our text in verse 42 specifically. It says, if you'll notice in verse 42 of Acts 2, that they continued steadfastly. And they continued. What do you have for a different translation? And they did what? They continued steadfastly? Anybody have something like that? Or, I mean, that is an excellent translation. That's maybe the best translation, in that it means a prevailing strength toward something or someone. They held on to one another. They were strengthening one another. They were wrapping their arms around, as it were, spiritually speaking, one another's lives. They were engrossed in and with one another as the body of Christ. They continued steadfastly. It was resolute. It was continuing to remain with one another. And what's more, notice this, they continued steadfastly. And then it has four phrases there in doctrine and fellowship and breaking bread and prayers. Each one of those words is a noun, and it has the exact same grammatical construction and the exact same article. And so it literally says, they held on to one another tenaciously in the doctrine. Well, that's the body of truth revealed from the writers of Scripture. And they held on tenaciously in the fellowship and in the breaking of bread. And you could summarize that as worship, that is coming together to remember what the Lord has done for you. And they held on tenaciously to one another in the prayer. So, do we believe that the preaching, study, understanding, application of doctrinal truth is commanded in Scripture? Is that commanded? Yes. Of course it is. It is commanded here it's narrative, but it is commanded all the preach the word, 2 Timothy 4 says. I mean, we know that. Do we believe also that in the breaking of bread, that is worship, devotion to Christ, that we're to be reminded to have a serious commitment to the Lord day in and day out? Do we believe in that? Yes. Of course we do. That's exactly what they did. They came together and they were resolute, holding on to one another, steadfastly saying, we're going to become scholarly in the doctrine. We're going to become committed to the breaking of bread. That is remembering the Lord and what he did in worship. Do we believe more and more that in prayer we are approaching him as the sovereign one and crying out to him on behalf of ourselves and others as he has commanded us? Do we believe that? Yes, of course we do. We pray regularly, and we're to be growing in that burden, in that passion. Well, folks, all of that being the case, I'm convinced that we are not continuing steadfastly in fellowship. We're becoming more and more distracted, more and more disintegrated. We do not have the passion, but there's more passivity about this particular area. And of course, it's the frog in the kettle. It's not like one day you or me or anybody said, let's be more detached. Let's be more aloof from body life. No, that didn't happen. It just gradually, the distractions of the world. Of course, Kansas City, we're not blessed in one way. I mean, in one way, we're blessed with an incredible geography. You can drive for 45 miles in one direction from one point to another and still be in KCMO. I mean, that's a blessing because we have so much territory. My fiance, Kathy, is absolutely blown away. She is blown away. We go to places, and she's reaching for a $20 bill to pay for parking. I said, well, there's no parking. There's no parking charge. She thinks that I'm lying or something. I said, no, we have all kinds of land. There's parking in some places, but not like what they have in Philadelphia. And yet, on the other hand, the blessing of all this geography has us spread out pretty far. Now, let's see. We have folks here who live in Cass County. Who lives in South Cass County? Hold your hand up. Pretty far south, Cass County. Anyone live heading up by the airport? Yeah, you do. Where are the Gaddards? Where are they here? You're kind of heading up by the airport. Liberty, right? Is your mailing address Liberty? From Liberty, boy, isn't that a great name, Liberty? I'd love to live in, I do live in Liberty. I'm in the Lord. From Liberty to Freeman, which is close to a real peculiar place. How far is that? I mean, that's 50 miles. And so it is more difficult to get together, which is why, frankly, we're so strategically placed and the highway system is so accommodating that we can get together. And of course, it's not just in this location. It's being a part of the body of Christ wherever you are, and all the time you are prescribed, that is prescribed for you. In fact, if we're not a part of that with one another, it very well could be a violation for any one of us of Hebrews 10:25. Let us consider one another. That is, really think about provoking one another unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves, as the manner of some is. Some people do that, but exhorting one another, and so much more as we see the day approaching. So we are to be more and more committed, not to attendance. Don't hear me saying attend at a higher, greater percentage. What I'm saying is integrate. Find a way, if this applies to you, to actually be involved with the people of God on a very regular basis. I'm not going to prescribe that for you. You're a big boy, big girl. You know what to do on that as the Word of God instructs you. Seminary professor Don Whitney wrote, "Some Christians are tempted to think that they can remain spiritually healthy apart from breathing the fresh air of biblical fellowship. There are degrees of this soul malady," that's a good way to phrase it, "ranging from those who don't go to church at all to those who attend public worship but never seek meaningful face-to-face interaction with other believers about the things of God." Notice it's about the things of God. It's not going bowling with a fellow Redbridger or to a Royals game necessarily. It could be that, but it's not necessarily that. In fact, when I go to a Royals game with somebody, in fact, much if not the majority of the conversation and the interaction is about the things of God. Kathy and I will go out to dinner, and invariably we will be dealing with somebody. This happens regularly. It happens really all the time. We're going to be dealing with somebody either in an evangelistic way, or we're going to find a believer and praying for that. And I mean, we'll just stop whatever we're doing and actually pray with and for that person. It is fellowshipping in the gospel. And it really means that if I'm not doing that, if I'm not a part of that, then my spiritual life is being hindered. And then finally, for it to be real, fellowship must be subscribed. That is, I actually have to lay hold of it. Just like you subscribe to a magazine, that is, you commit to receive it, you import it, you embrace it, the same must be true with Christian fellowship. It's prescribed in Scripture. I've given you a description of it, but it must be subscribed. That is, I must intentionally now place myself in the path of fellowship becoming real in my life. I like what Chuck Swindoll wrote about this. He said, "In the first century, fellowship was viewed as something beyond the occasional or even beyond the regular gathering of Christians. Even though they met in the same place at the same time for a unified purpose, fellowship was a heart issue to be felt and expressed, to be participated in. It was something which occurred apart from the program, apart from the schedule, in that it was a fundamental way of life." That is exactly what we see in the book of Acts. They did not just attend together. Of course they did. They didn't just pray with one another and for another. Certainly they did. And study Scripture. Yes, they did. And worship together and lift hymns heavenward. They did that. But it was more than that. It was the integration of hearts. I am part of you. You are part of me because we're in the same body. And it's his body and he's the head. And he says, commingle with one another in the gospel, in the things of God. And so we have a subscription on which we're to sign on as part of that. A believer is not necessarily in fellowship because of attending a worship service or putting an offering in the plate or singing a hymn. In fact, the book of Amos, and this talked about their heart toward the Lord, said, take away from me all of that and let genuineness flow down like a mighty river. And so the genuineness of our hearts, do I want to be with and involved in the life of the local church? Now, Redbridge is not cursed with dead, lifeless fellowship. We're not trapped in dry and boring fellowship. That's not the problem. We're not plagued by division in that we don't like one another. No, that's not it either. We're unified in doctrine and purpose and ministry when we give ourselves to it. But that's the crux of the matter, is actually and intentionally more and more being occupied with life in the family and not distracted by the issues in this world. And what can distract us? Well, we just came off a 4-year political cycle. By the way, we're beginning another one in the next couple of weeks, you know? That can distract us. I used to be a news junkie for that stuff. Thankfully, God delivered me, and now I'm free. And if you want to know who to vote for, just ask me, because I'm right on it. I'm not occupied about it, okay? But politics can do that. Hobbies can be a distraction. Sports and leisure can be a distraction. Of course it can be. It can be for anyone, and it certainly can be for a local church. Family life can be a distraction. Now, of course, that's qualified. We have responsibilities there. Work can be a distraction. You have responsibilities there. It's the issue is my heart given to the body of Christ? Because I'm a part of the body, or am I an arm that's kind of aloof out here and just kind of observing the body over here? I'm kind of attached to it somehow, but I'm floating around pretty much on my own and not really locked in to the life of the church. I want to give you a phrase that came to me this week, and I think it's helpful, and it's this. Fellowship is mandated in Scripture, and fellowship must be maintained by the saints, not as legalism in order to enhance our standing. Well, okay, God's going to love me more. No. But as a self-discipline to be healthy. Have you ever received a high glucose rating on your blood test? Have you ever received an A1C rating that has crept up, or some other, or the scale went up further than you thought it had, or something like that? Well, what do you do? You do not say, okay, the doctor is going to be happy with me if I get my sugar level down in my blood, and the doctor is going to be so pleased. And after all, I'm in bondage to what the doctor thinks, so I'd better do that. No, of course not. You say, I want to live in a more healthy way, and so I'm going to be more regimented and disciplined in this area of my life. Isn't that how we operate? It doesn't have a rational person operates, amen? Well, similarly, for a healthy body, it needs to have healthy parts. And so I must accept and subscribe to the mandate of maintaining that fellowship. Couple of points. This is how you do it. You prioritize. You prioritize. God does, and so should we. He made it clear that this was part of it, so you schedule it. We schedule everything else. Put on your schedule on a regular basis that with other members of the body, you will meet for a spiritual purpose. For a spiritual purpose, a prayer meeting, a Bible study, discussing points of theology, on marriage, on parenting, on evangelism, whatever it might be. But I am going to give myself to this on purpose as a spiritual discipline in my life. J.I. Packer wrote, as we value the health of our own souls and of the Christian church, then we must learn to prize fellowship. And let me give you the easiest way you can prioritize. How about that which is already signed, sealed, and delivered to you and for you, your Sunday school class? I mean, there it has the components there. It has study of the Word of God. It has prayer. It has integration of lives. It's available to you and available to your kids and the like. And we have so many folks who are here, who attend worship services, and who are involved, and yet have not been a part of local body life in and through their Sunday school class, and I don't even know how long. I don't get that. I mean, now, if you, again, if the shoe fits, wear it. Told you, now, this is an overseer word of exhortation. I trust you're going to receive it. If the shoe fits, wear it. If it doesn't, then don't sweat it. But really, if I had to choose, and your time schedule was so crunched that you say to me, preacher, I can attend my Sunday school class at 9:15, or I can attend the worship service at 10:45, but my life is under such pressure right now, and I'm in such a straitjacket, such a stranglehold on me, you choose, with God as my witness, I would say you go to your Sunday school class, because right in here is not where body life is taking place, but it's in the small group with brothers and sisters, and you're sharing one of those burdens, and you're taking meals into somebody who's disabled, and you're evangelizing, and you're having dinners for six, and this and that around the community. That's where the life of the body, at least one place where it could be accessed in all of our lives. Why isn't it? I really don't get it. Now, if you have before God an absolute freedom to not participate in body life because of some circumstance, well, then again, if the shoe fits, wear it. If it doesn't, don't put it on. I'm not answerable directly for you. I am answerable, because I do give an account, Hebrews 13:17, for the flock. But how you respond to that is between you and the Lord. So prioritize fellowship. And then secondly, practice it. It has to be a lifestyle. Fellowship is not something you attend as much as it's something you are. It's something you become. It's living with the mindset of shared lives together. It's community. It's worshiping together, praying together, studying together, ministering together, evangelizing together, all of those things. Now, lest you be thinking, preacher, I agree, but I can worship and pray and study, minister and evangelize on my own. I can do all of that by myself. Yes, you can, and yes, you should, as do I. But folks, we're a family. And if a local family of husband, wife, and kids were to live out their days in separate houses and separate dining room tables and separate vehicles and didn't ever transport here or there, separate vacations, his vacation, her vacation, and the kids' vacation, and they're all separate, we would say that is one dysfunctional family. Wouldn't we say that? We would say that is not a healthy environment. Then why would it be any different for the spiritual family to act that way? Of course we should not be a part of that. Of course we're to be integrated together as God's family. And so, what do you do about it? Put together a dinner for six in your home or at a restaurant. You don't want to open up your home? Great. Then go somewhere. Come up to the pavilion here at church. Have a picnic lunch on a Saturday with another family or two. But if it's fellowship, it's going to be centered in and around the gospel. That is life in Christ. Christ in me, the hope of glory. And your life will be so enriched, will be so deepened as you give yourself intentionally to that. Now, some of us are great at this. I mean great at this. Don and Nady Eubank, senior adult couple. I can't even count the number of times that they've had folks over. And I've been a part of that group. They've kind of been doing it for me and then two or three other couples at the same time. Anybody been over one of those dinners at Don and Nady's in the last year or two? A number of you have. I don't even know how many times they've done this. And for the purpose of pulling aside with a half a dozen people or so and just sharing about the things of the Lord. Brett and Elaine Roberts have people over all the time. Terry and Beth Staley do. Chris and Betsy Brennan do. New Redbridgers like Chris and Grace Basil opening up their home. And here's an example, and I'm done with examples because I can't cover everybody. Steve and Jolynn Norton. They understand biblical fellowship, and they live in Chicago. and they are all the time sharing lives integrated with Redbridgers on a regular basis. Now, if they can do that from Chicago, keeping up with folks, talking to them on the phone, emailing back and forth, visiting here, and then doing things. I mean they're just a beehive of activity whenever they're in town, just being with God's people because they want to and they intend to. They practice biblical fellowship. Say, preacher, I don't have a nice home. I don't have any money. I'm not equipped to do that, but I sure believe that Scripture teaches this. What do I do? He who desires friends does what? Shows himself friendly. Avail yourself. Look for every opportunity you can. We have enough functions here that are just open. Like, for instance, the reception tonight following the memorial service. Now that's a time to come together as the people of God, love on one of our families, encourage one another, and just glory in the Lord for eternal life that we have and that we'll see baby Elias again one day. Just whatever it has a million different shades and hues and tones and flavors. But it's the integration of lives. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in breaking bread, and in prayers. And great power came upon that local group of believers. May God bless us in that way in these days.